Genesis chapter 3, we're looking at walking with God. Morning's focus on walking with God is more aware of God. When you look at Genesis 3, this is where mankind falls, disobeys God, and spiritually dies. But notice what takes place. Verse number 4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So Satan always tells you, if you'll just look, God is a joy killer, and God's trying to keep you from living life, and the Christian life is nothing but bondage and rules. That's Satan's lie. When really Jesus said, "I came to give you life, and that it might be more abundantly." And so Satan's lie here tells Eve, verse 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." And then I think this verse is so sad. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees." So he who they had walked with, who created them, who they had spent time with every day, they're now hiding from, and that's what sin does. It gets you thinking that God's your enemy, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with our sin, and our sin does offend God. However, it's so sad, the only one that could have helped them, they're running from, and they're hiding from. If you go back to when Adam and Eve sinned, picture Adam here, says she gave the fruit. It doesn't say apple, don't say that, okay? It says fruit. Eve is standing here talking with Satan, and Adam never does his job of protecting the garden. It's what he was given to do, till it and keep it, protect it. How come Adam never put his foot down? Adam should have said, "This is my garden. I've been put in charge of it. You're out of here." He didn't take charge. He's letting his wife lead, and God corrects him for that. Because you listen to the voice of your wife, and you never took charge. If he's standing right there, he's watching his wife getting ready to take a bite of the fruit that he knows is going to kill them. Then how come he didn't put it? How come he should have led? How come most homes are women led? Because the man won't lead. Praise God for the homes that are men led. How come the wife leads? Because the man won't take charge. He thinks being spiritual is for women, when really God made all of us to walk with him. So you take this, I'm looking into this story right now, because to bite into that fruit with her husband right there, it says she bit and then gave it to her husband. She didn't go find her husband and give it to him. What do you have to do to sin? You have to forget that God's right there with you. If they both would have been more aware, Adam forgot God's presence. And every time you forget that if you're saved, God lives inside of you, God's with you. This thinking that the church is a holy place, but when we go home, we live differently. God's just as much in the, I'm not being risque, but God's just as much in the bathroom as he is here. But that's religious thinking. Oh, we live this way at home, but we live this way at church. Well, that's a double, you forgot. If you're saved, God lives inside of you. And he's just as much there. Don't forget God's presence, or guess what? Sinning becomes very easy. But if they would have remembered the one who created them, remembered the one who warned them, who talked with them every day. You know what this is a picture of? That we know that God walked with them in the cool of the day. Here's paradise. They have no sin nature. Did you know you can read your Bible and pray just like Adam and Eve did? I know they didn't have a Bible, but stick with me, okay? They got to see God face to face. You can spend time with God. Okay, I read my Bible, I pray, and then I do the rest of my day. What you do with your Bible is supposed to help you for the rest of the day. Remember God at the start of the day. Somebody said, "Well, I read my Bible before I go to bed." I hope you do, but you read the Bible and you'll find out, early will I seek him. If you'll start your day with the Lord, it helps to help your thoughts all the way through the day. I can't do that because that will cost me God's presence. I can't participate in that. I can't listen to that, right? I want God more than I want that. So Adam and Eve are a picture of you can spend time with God and then live differently during the day because you forgot about His presence. Now, the opposite of that would be Joseph. Go to Genesis 39. Joseph is an amazing man in the Bible. There's three people in the Bible that God chose not to record any sin about. We know they sinned, but God didn't record their sins. Joseph is the first one. We know nobody's sinless. We know that. But Joseph has no recorded sin. Samuel has no recorded sin. And Daniel has no recorded sin. So this is, I would call Joseph one of the, they're all great, but one of the greatest men in the Bible that God used to picture the Lord Jesus. Rejected of his brethren. Jesus was rejected of Israel. Joseph ends up ruling over his brethren. And what's going to happen when Jesus comes back? He's going to rule the kingdom. You've got this picture of the Lord Jesus in Joseph, and yet all that he went through, there's four verses in chapter 39 I want you to notice. Look at verse 2. It said, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man." Please take note of two things. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was prosperous. That doesn't mean rich. God can prosper you in more ways than just money. There's things money can't buy. Your kids turning out right, a good marriage. There's things money cannot buy. So God prospered. He was a prosperous man and was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Notice verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. There it is again. God's with him. And God prospers him. Notice the end of the chapter now. Look at verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And then look at verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So here's an amazing man. Let me make some statements here first. It says the Lord was with Joseph. Okay, we know God's everywhere, and we know God's with you too. You know what I think this is pointing out? It's not that God was with Joseph more than he's with you. But Joseph never forgot God's presence. How do you make it by being sold into slavery? By your own brothers. And then the Bible says he screamed all night long when his brothers put him in the hole. Your own family rejecting you. Your brothers hating you. Then they pull him out of the pit, and can you imagine him thinking, glad that's done. And here's the Midianites and their slave cart, and they exchange money, and Joseph is put in chains and put in the back of the cart, and he drives away looking at his brothers, I think, screaming again into slavery. Never to see his dad again, not for at least around 20 years. Then he gets to the Potiphar's house. The Lord was with... Look, you only handle hard times without... God's presence lets you go through anything. That's how Joseph made it. Then when he gets to Potiphar's house, the Lord was with him. Potiphar sees that, and God prospers him because he never forgot. When you lose everything, now he's a slave. He owns nothing. He has no money. He's put over Potiphar's house, but he never forgets. Look, there has to be some resignation. What do you do when life takes all of its turns and tragedy happens and nothing goes the way you planned it? You have to resign yourself to the Lord. There has to be some yielding that says, I wouldn't have done it this way. I don't know what's going on. But God, you're with me. You'll never leave me. And I love this, because this is Bible, you would never do anything to hurt me. Even though I may be experiencing pain right now, I do believe Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. That's easy preaching and hard living. Because when the bottom falls out and the tragedy happens, to look to God and say, God, I don't know what's going on. I just know this. You're with me and you'll never leave me. And it's because of you that I can take this. But there has to be some yielding and surrender to say, I don't know what's best for me. God does. God does. And that's whether it's a death in the family or a financial reversal. All I'm saying is Joseph is a beautiful picture. This whole chapter, four times, the Lord was with him and prospered him. Because Joseph never forgot. Then Potiphar's wife comes in. He's in charge of the whole house and he's lied about. If you haven't read the story, read it. She comes in, lie with me, and my husband's gone. He goes, oh, I can't do that. Every day she did that. Tempted him. Finally, one day she grabs it, and it says he ran out without his coat, and he ran from it. Then she takes the coat, takes it to her husband. He tried to rape me. And at the end of the chapter, he's in prison. How do you, when you didn't do anything, you were standing for right. I'm not going to have sex outside of marriage. I'm not going to do that. I am not going. Now you're in prison. How do you? Because you don't forget God's presence. Then the baker and the butler, if you don't read the next chapter, they forget about him. Could you interpret our dream for you? Yeah, one of you is going to lose your head. Sorry, it's not a good dream. One of you gets set free and the other one, yeah, sorry for you. That's what it means. And then he looks at him, he says, please remember me. I haven't done anything wrong. I mean, I've been in prison for 2 years. Really, it's longer than that. And then they forget about him. Till finally, Pharaoh has the dream about the famine. Sold into slavery, hated by your family, sold into slavery, lied about and put in prison for nothing. How do you make it through that? You don't forget God's with you. When I get the flat tire in the rain, God knew it was going to happen last year. I can either get angry at it. Man, I come, stinking car, Toyota. You know, I can either do all that trash or I can just say, you know what, God, you must have something planned for me that I have not. And God does. You either relax in it or you blow a fuse because you forgot about God's presence. Being aware of God. Being aware that God's with me. Now, Adam is the opposite of this. He forgets. Joseph is prospered because of his awareness of God. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Look, when America cared about what the Bible said, and as a whole, America was doing a lot better. We were raising better kids. America wasn't so unstable. Now, the more ignorant America gets, a Bible study like this is we're focusing on being aware that God's with you all the time. You know, it'd be wonderful, I think, as a pastor to know when you leave church today, God's not leaving you. When you get home today, God's there. And it's wonderful to know if you're saved and washed in the blood, you can talk to Him anytime. Well, you don't have to, look, it's wonderful, you ought to have times on your knees. But you know, did you know you can walk and talk with the Lord? Did you know you can pray in your vehicle while you're driving down the road? You don't have to. I have times where I pray with my eyes shut, but I have times where I pray with my eyes open. Aware that God's with you all the time. Awareness. Look at Proverbs 3. Look at verse 1. Proverbs 3:1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. So what do you have to do to not forget what God has taught us? If you look in the Bible at all the warnings that God says, take heed lest thou forget what your eyes have seen and what you've heard. Our tendency is we let the now help us forget about the future or what God's done in the past. Well, I'm just wrapped up in what I got to do right now and you just got to know how busy I am. And beware lest thou forget. And all of our tendency is to forget. We're much more forgetful than we do remember. And the only reason you remember is because you do it on purpose. What do you got to do to not forget God's law? Look at verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. In other words, memorize the Word of God. Let the Word of God into every area of your life. If it touches your heart, verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. If you'll do what God wants you to do, you'll make the right people happy. But if you're only out to please people and you care too much about what people think, you won't make God happy. You first find favor in God's sight, and then God helps you find favor in the right people's sight. I learned a long time ago, you heard me say this last week, you're going to make somebody mad. If you stand for right, you're going to make those who stand for wrong angry. And if you stand for wrong, you're going to make those that stand for right angry. So just determine who you want to make mad. You know, well, I can't believe you did this, and I can't. Well, I'm not living to please you. Amen? I'm living to please the Lord. Look at verse number. Now we're going to get into these principles here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. There's the first one. In verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And look at verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance. So those four things, we're going to pull from those verses, and we learn to trust in the Lord. How can I not forget God? Well, it would help if you would trust him and put your faith in him. You say, for what? Salvation? Okay, God didn't just save you to keep you out of hell. God saved you to walk with you, to spend time with you. Tomorrow when you go to work, you can either forget God's presence or you can work with the Lord. Most jobs you can do with the Lord. Now, if you've got a job, if you're, you know, drug dealer or a pimp, I suggest you change occupations, okay? You can't do that with God's presence. That was a joke. I wish you'd have heard that. Most people could do their job with God. Well, it's just dog eat dog in my factory, and it's just whoever you can step on to get to the top. That's the way they live. But if God's with you and you'll remember God's presence, God can prosper you, right? Doesn't Joseph teach you that? And God wants to work with you. Whatever it is that you do, I don't care if it's electrician, I don't care if you're a mechanic, trade work, technical work, it doesn't make any difference. God wants to work with you. You could remember God's presence all day tomorrow. Lord help me. I remember when we were welding at the fab shop, they would give me the pipe fitters to weld that night, you know, and I'd lay out my booth, my welding booth, and get my stuff all set and my welder. And then we always checked the records. What was the most pieces of this that we were making that had ever been made in a night, in an 8-hour shift? So we'd go check the records. This much. Okay. I set out to break a record once a week. I didn't do it every time I went into work. Amen. Because every night can't be a record-breaking night. Because you do got to live a little bit. But we would go there and say, okay, that many pieces is how many? I'm busting that record tonight. Time to skip the breaks and eat. And then when you're done, you got this pile of stuff. That was accomplishment. Amen. I remember while I was welding, Lord, please help me. We had a testimony there at the shop. Our boss said, day shift, they earn y'all's paychecks. Night shift, you Hiles Anderson guys, you put us on the map. You earn the bonuses. You guys outproduce day shift. Literally, this is what he said, 2-1. He said, you guys do twice the work that day shift does. We had a testimony. Amen. My boss was Catholic. He needed to get saved. So we were doing it. We had multiple reasons. All I'm trying to tell you is this, is whatever your job is tomorrow, you could do it with the Lord. God wants to help you if you don't forget about him. You understand? It's God can help you in whatever it is. Here, if you trust in the Lord, the word trust means to confide, place confidence in, or have security without fear. My security is in the Lord. Go to Psalm 62, verse 8. Look at what God talks about in trusting in the Lord. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. I like this. I'm going to apply the verse now. If I'm trusting in God, when things happen that I don't understand or breaks my heart or hurts me, the first person I go to is God, because he's the one I'm trusting in. I remember last week got the call that our son had been in a car wreck. He was in the hospital, and Pastor Owens was telling me, and that happened right before Sunday school. That had never happened to me before. My wife and I have never gotten that bad of news right before a church service. You know, it can occupy your mind. And I had to go somewhere. I had to go in my office and say, Lord, our heart is with a car wreck, but you had this planned, and I've got a Sunday school class to teach. I needed to pour out my heart to the Lord because I was trusting in Him. I didn't understand what was going on. My wife didn't understand. Wow, Sunday morning, and he was on his way to church, you know. There had to be, and God is my refuge. If your trust is in the Lord, then the first place you go when things happen that you don't understand is the Lord, not Facebook, not Instagram, and not Twitter. Those people can't help you.
Amen.
Guess what I did today? I don't care what you did today. Sorry. I get these notifications all the time on my phone. So-and-so posted a picture. Delete. I don't even look at them. You say, how can you do that? People that I haven't seen for 30 years. One, how'd they get my number? Who hacked me? No, I'm just kidding. But I don't dink with that stuff. I don't want to live that way. I don't mind them knowing after I've talked to the Lord. But God should be the first person you go to if He's your trust. He's your refuge. That's Psalm 62:8. Go to 31. Go back. Psalm 31. Look at verse 12 to 15. I feel so sorry for those that are enslaved to social media. Never before has somebody else's opinion mattered so much as it does in this day and age. They don't like me. Somebody hit the thumbs down button instead of the thumbs up button. When did that matter before internet? Three people unfriended me. Do you really want friends that can disown you with one click? I don't. What the social media, and it's amazing, if you listen to the people who created Facebook, they don't let their kids play with anything with a screen until they're 12. They don't let their kids do it, and the makers of Facebook said, we're destroying and tearing apart our society at the seams. You know why? Because people care too much now about what other people think. That's what it's done. In other words, well, I've got an opinion. Well, I'll make a video. Really? Now your useless information is out there for everybody to see. You know, before the internet, we had this statement, opinions are like armpits. Everybody has one and everybody stinks. Now, opinions matter, and they shouldn't. Truth should matter, but it's amazing how, if you're not watching what's happening in our society as things go that way. Look at verse 12. Ready? I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. Watch this. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. And then how he handled all this is verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. When everybody's talking about you, when people wish you weren't alive, when they're out to destroy you, how do you handle it? But my trust is in the Lord. God is my defense. If God's for me, the whole world can be against me if I'm doing right. People's opinions shouldn't matter. God should matter. Let's look at one more on trusting in the Lord. I know I'm watching the time here. Go to Psalm 61, verse 1. Psalm 61, go forward just a little bit more. Whenever you say, trust in the Lord, Christian, child of God, you get these responses like this. Oh, I trust in the Lord. Oh, I always trust in God. No, you don't. You trust in God when you set out to trust in God, but you don't naturally trust in the Lord. But you get all these responses. It's like if you're teaching on faith. Oh, I know what faith is. Okay, but you don't. Your trust is not in the Lord. Not when you're running to everything else. So it's nice to have a Bible focus to look at. Look at Psalm 61. Ready? Look at verse 1. Psalm 61 says here, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Watch this. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Notice this, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. You know what the word covert means? Think about it. When we say, we're going to do military covert operations. What are we saying? They're hidden. Hidden operations. God says, I wish you would trust in me and let me hide you in my wings, in my presence. Do you know what? Joseph is the ultimate. When I'm overwhelmed, when life is hitting me so fast, what do you do when you're overwhelmed? Oh, we got a pill for you. Yeah, you need some drugs. Yeah, the pharmacy's full of it. And I'm talking prescription drugs. Or you could go to the Lord. You could go to the Lord. You could trust in the Lord when my heart is overwhelmed, when I'm stressed out. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. How can I keep from forgetting God? Trusting in the Lord. I just love those verses. That's just under trust. Watch this. Acknowledging God in all thy ways, Proverbs 3:6. Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. First of all, if you'll trust the Lord, it'll help you not forget. Second of all, acknowledge means giving God credit. When somebody says, gives me any compliment, we do know this. Anything good I do, it's God helped me do it. Amen? And anything I mess up, it's because I decided to do it on my own. So when somebody says, amen, and I do appreciate, and I appreciate Brother Wilkins, I appreciate all of you, but when he tells me after church, Pastor, that was a good message, I always say, praise the Lord. He helped me. Amen. And he knows that. He knows I pray about the messages and I ask the Lord to help. But what do you do with comments that are good when you do something? Do you acknowledge the Lord? Do you give God credit? Because every time you say, God helped me with that, God let me do that. Okay, we had a guy come Tuesday night when Pastor Owens was here. A pastor came from another church, and he'd never been here before. And on his way out, he must have told me, he says, oh, your church is so beautiful. He was a little older than me, I think. And he said, oh, this is such a beautiful place. I said, the Lord sure has been good to us. I didn't build it. Amen. We work at keeping it clean, and we work at making sure stuff isn't broken. Amen. But I said, God sure has been good to us, and God sure has blessed us. I wanted to give God the credit. Amen. I said, yeah, we got, well, it was dark. He couldn't see, but I said, yeah, we got, Lord's given us 10 acres here. He goes, 10 acres? He said, that's huge. And I said, the Lord sure has been good to us. I wanted to get, anytime I get a compliment, I do want to give God credit. You say, why? I want to acknowledge the Lord. Remember one time we were in a restaurant with our kids. This happened more than once, but one time we were in there and the waitress comes up and says, can I just say thank you? Your kids act so wonderful. She'd seen some monsters, obviously, and I wasn't comparing my kids to others. But then what did I do? Whenever we got a compliment, it was always, the Lord's blessed us and the Lord's helped us. God sure has helped my family, gave me a great wife and beautiful kids. You see that? I give God credit, and that reminds me that the Lord has, but if I'm willing to, well, yeah. You know, my kids are good, they're just like me, and when they're bad, they're just like their mother. I guess that would be a ridiculous opposite, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? All I'm saying is, Christian, when was the last time you told somebody, God sure has helped me? Wow, you got a nice car. God sure has. God's blessed me. I'm very thankful. Somebody walked into my office a couple months ago. Oh, look at this. I said, yeah, this was given to us. This would be like $20,000 worth of furniture. Oh, my goodness. I said, God sure has been good to us. God's blessed us. And if I keep saying it, I'm amazed. The more I say it, I'm amazed. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Proverbs 3:6. What do you do to be more aware and not forget about God? First part of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7 says, here, as a matter of fact, let me go there because this is towards the middle of the verse. Proverbs 3 and verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. And depart from evil. If you went through, look at all the blessings God gives those that fear Him. Psalm 19, verse 9. Psalm 25, verse 14. Psalm 31, verse 19. 34, 7. These are in the Sunday school lesson. Look them up. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. My boss, you know, he's lost as a... I welded for a blacksmith in Tennessee, and I prayed for him and asked the Lord to save him, and I tried to witness to him, and it's what he always say. You know, while he's smoking his cigarette. I'm a God-fearing man. He must have been on fire for God. Okay. But he'd go, I'm a God-fearing man. He said, I was an altar boy in the Episcopalian church. And I said, yeah, but that won't get you to heaven. I said, only the blood of Jesus gets you to heaven, and you have to put your faith. He said, oh, I'm a God-fearing man. He used the fear of God. I heard it from him. I mean, I didn't witness to him every day because, you know, I'd pray for the right time. I'm a God-fearing man. No, I wasn't. Look up the fear of God in your Bible. What do you do if you fear God? By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You hate evil because you know God hates it. Amen? So what do? You fear the Lord. It is a reverential awareness of God's omnipotence, that He's all-powerful, His omniscience, that He's all-knowing, and His omnipresence, that He's everywhere at once. Probably the best way I could describe to you the fear of the Lord is to tell you the opposite is carelessness. It's carelessness. Now, these verses here will help you. And then finally, let's close with this. Honor the Lord. You're there in Proverbs. You're there. Notice it here it says, verse number 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, there's many verses in the Bible about tithing, but that's why we're supposed to tithe before Uncle Sam gets our taxes. We give God the first fruits of our increase. I don't want Uncle Sam getting his money before God gets his money. And notice in this Proverbs 3 thing here, my pastor pointed out to me. So verse 9 is on tithing. Look at the benefit of tithing. Verse 10, ready? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My pastor would read verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. My pastor would say, isn't that amazing? God puts a verse on spanking or chastising his children right after the tithing verse. That's because I wonder what God spanks his children for most. Not tithing. Do you know what you got to do to put 10% of your income in the plate? Trust God. I don't have it to spare, but God said if I give it, he would bless me more without it than if I keep it and rob him. It takes faith to tithe. I tithe by faith. I don't tithe because God needs my money. God doesn't need nothing I got. But isn't that amazing? The chastisement verses are right after the honoring the Lord. And God said in Deuteronomy, every time you give, do you know what it teaches you? Every time you give 10%, it reminds you that God gave it all to you. Amen?